Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
Please stand for our second scripture reading this evening. This reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 16b through 37. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And as another scripture says, "They will look on the one they have pierced." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Have you ever thought about how the term Good Friday seems like such a misnomer? How can we call the day that we remember the death of Jesus as a good day? And yet, in the same time, how can we call it anything but good? So, this Good Friday, we remember the death of Jesus. We remember all that he has done for us. And I have to tell you, no matter how many times I read all the scriptures associated with Holy Week. They are just as gut-wrenching each time I read them. To know all that Jesus went through. And it was for me. And it was for you. These passages of scriptures are not easy ones to read. They hurt. And it would be so much easier if we could just skip over them and go on to what happens next. But how can we skip over these passages? They are so important for us to read and to know. But it would be so much easier if we could skip over all that Jesus went through, to kind of pretend that it didn't happen, that we don't have to read about it. To skip from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday and skip everything that happened in between. To skip over Jesus eating the Passover meal with his disciples. To skip over Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. To skip over Jesus being arrested and put on trial. It would be so easy to skip over Jesus being whipped and a crown of thorns put on his head. It would be so easy to skip over Jesus being forced to carry his own cross to Golgotha. It would be so easy to skip over Jesus being nailed to the cross. To skip over how he hung there in pain for all to watch as he died a painful death. It would be so easy to skip over Jesus being taken down from the cross, wrapped in linen cloths, and laid in a tomb. It's so easy to want to skip over all the pain, all the suffering that the disciples went through watching all this happen to Jesus. So easy to want to skip over all the hard parts and skip ahead to Sunday. But it's not Sunday yet. And here we are, stuck on Friday. Stuck having to face all that our Lord did for us. We are stuck here, listening to Jesus say, "It is finished. It is finished." I can't even begin to imagine what it was like for those who were there beside Jesus at the cross to hear him say, "It is finished." We know that not all of Jesus' followers had deserted him. There were still some there at the cross. And we are told of the women who were still there at the cross with Jesus. These were some of the people who had followed Jesus for so long in his ministry. They had been there watching him as he performed so many miracles. They had been there listening to all the teaching that he had done. They were the ones that called him teacher, Lord, Master. And now Here he is, hanging on a cross and saying, "It is finished." After everything that they had gone through since with Jesus, and then to watch him be arrested, put on trial, and hung on a cross, to now hear him say, "It is finished." But what is it that is finished for those followers of Jesus at the cross with him? They had to be thinking that it was his ministry that was finished, his life that was finished. For as soon as he had said, "It is finished," he breathed his last. For the Pharisees, the religious leaders, there watching Jesus die, they probably thought that it was all of their problems with Jesus that were now finished. He was dead, so how could he cause more problems for them, right? But what is it that is truly finished? For the scripture does not end with Jesus on the cross saying, "It is finished." Tonight is not the end. The good news of Jesus Christ does not finish tonight. The ministry of Jesus was not finished, no matter what those there at the cross might have thought. What was finished? Part of Jesus' ministry. The ministry that brought him to earth. Jesus had finished all that God had called him to do here on earth. That was finished. But there was still so much more yet to come. The ministry that Jesus started has not finished. The ministry of Jesus lives on in us, lives on when we share who Jesus is. The ministry of Jesus is not finished. It has only changed. For every time something is finished, it's for something new to start. Jesus' ministry here on earth has finished, but in just a few days, something new will start. But that new start hasn't come yet. And so we have to stay here, paused, unfinished. We have to live with the uncomfortable for just a few days. We have to sit with the pain and the grief that the disciples went through. We know what is yet to come, but we can't skip over the uncomfortable, the painful, just because we don't like it and we want to skip ahead to what we know comes next. We have to stay here now with the words of, "It is finished." We can't skip over the parts of what Jesus did for us. We can't skip over these painful, gut-wrenching scriptures just because we don't like them, because they're painful, because we know that the good news is yet to come. We can't skip over Jesus saying, "It is finished," and breathing his last, and rush to the new beginning that is coming. So for now, we live in this pain. We live with "it is finished," along with his disciples, not knowing what that new start will be, what that will come next. We live knowing the pain that Jesus went through to say, "It is finished." Will you pray with me? Lord, as we come tonight to sit with you at the cross, we sit with you and stay on the words of "it is finished." We know that a new beginning is coming, that you are starting something new in us in just a few days. But for now, we stay with the pain and suffering and grief of knowing all that you went through for us. We remember your great love for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.